The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
Case 9 from the Gateless Gate. Qingzhang's non-attained Buddha. A monk asked the priest Qingzhang of Xingyan, "The Buddha of supremely pervading, surpassing wisdom did zazen on the Bodhi seat for 10 kalpas, but the Dharma of the Buddha did not manifest itself and he could not attain Buddhahood. Why was this?" Qingzhang said, "Your question is exactly to the point." The monk said, "But he did zazen on the Bodhi seat. Why couldn't he attain Buddhahood?" Qingzhang said, "Because he is a non-attained Buddha." Wu Men's comment, "I approve the old barbarian's realization, but I don't approve his understanding. If an ordinary person realizes he or she is thus a sage, if a sage understands, he or she is thus an ordinary person." Wu Men's verse, "Better than knowing the body is knowing the mind in peace. When the mind is realized, the body is no longer anxious. When body and mind are fully realized, the saintly hermit declines to become a noble." So here we are deep in Sesshin. Many kalpas have passed, many kalpas to come. This adventure of Sesshin, this adventure into the heartland, it is quite a thing. And my great appreciation to all of us here together, all of us here doing our best, all of us here falling apart, getting caught in waves of reactivity, getting disoriented, finding our way, finding moments of clarity and ease, perhaps. Whatever it is arising for you, it is exactly the point. One of us said early on that, you know, we are all lay people, which is true. But yet for the weekend, we are all monks. All of us have become renunciates. We have stepped back, stepped away, and come to this monastery of the self, this temple of the self. As Dogen said, we are taking the backward step, stepping back out of the everydayness of our life, and turning the attention inward. And of course, when we turn our attention inward, the whole world comes with us. When you do zazen, the whole universe does zazen. And this breaking down, this disorientation that you may be experiencing, if you're not breaking down and getting disoriented, that's fine too. A student once came to me and he said, "I'm feeling some more calm and peacefulness in my life. Is that okay?" I said, "Yes, even calm and peaceful is okay." As these circumstances sometimes appear. And we often begin Sesshin, as we did this time, with the question, why are you here? And this theme through the retreat, what is it you really want? And then we're told we're not supposed to want anything. This is not a self-improvement project. It gets a little confusing. And in Wu Men's verse, his comment, he said, "I approve the old barbarian's realization, but I don't approve his understanding." So the old barbarian is an affectionate way of referring to Bodhidharma, who was a foreigner. He came from India when he was quite advanced in years. He might have been even as old as you are when he left home, set out on the dangerous journey. And so Wu Men, speaking with Bodhidharma, commenting on Bodhidharma. One of the wonderful things in Zen is, although we have these exemplars and wonderful teachers of past and present, the point is not to agree with the teacher. So Wu Men doesn't say, "Well, whatever Bodhidharma does is fine." He says, "I approve of his realization, but I do not approve of his understanding." And our Zen practice is wonderfully and clearly focused on realization. These Dharma talks are not to help you understand. In fact, perhaps the opposite, these Dharma talks to confuse and disorient you. And yet the Dharma talk also some intention on my part, on our part, to speak from this heart of hearts. To demonstrate something, to touch this, just like when you go turn the attention inward, what you encounter is the whole world, whole universe comes with you, everything you've ever wanted, everything you've ever been afraid of. All of it is true. You already are the person that you long to be, the person you dream you might be someday, maybe after another 40 kalpas. Already you are that person, and you are the person you are afraid that you are, the person you would rather not be. The person who withdraws and gets confused, the person who wants to have it their way, the one who is lost in their own selfish preoccupation, this is you too. And this realization of Zen is the realization of the whole universe, the realization that you are not, I am not limited. Or rather that you are limited, and it is your limitation that is the freedom. The very thing that seems like such a problem, the very thing that you would so wish that you did not have to endure. And of course, after we've been around the block a few times, have a few years under our belt, we begin to see that we get lost in the same place again and again. Each one of us has the particular pattern of how we avoid reality, where we go when we feel we are a person who cannot do it right. And we see ourselves do this, and the shame and the humiliation that come up for all of us after all these years, 40 years of practicing, and still someone looks at me the wrong way and I get scared. All of this is part of the path. And the wonderful excerpt from Da Wei we read this morning. Da Wei this is a letter from Da Wei to one of his students who has written to him saying that he figures he's a pretty hopeless case. And Da Wei reassures him that just as he is, dim and dull, reactive, whatever it is, it is exactly the entry point. He says, the one who knows you are dim and dull is certainly not dim and dull. And then all of us must enter the Dharma through our limited incarnation, through this limited world, this world where all of us can do some things and can't do others. All of us have limits. All of us get overwhelmed at some point. And all of this vast field, vast is the robe of liberation, a formless field of benefaction, we chant each morning as we put on our raksu, put on the symbolic raksu, as Paul so wonderfully said the first morning. The point is not whether you have a raksu or not. All of us are true followers of the way. This weekend, 100%. Vast is the robe of liberation, a formless field of benefaction. This robe of liberation, this practice of Zazen, these teachings that we find our way into, these teachings, both in words and spoken and unspoken, the sound of the wind outside the window, the brightness of the light as it comes in, the trouble in your heart, the disquiet, the thoughts that torment you, all of this is part of this vast coming and going. Lin Shi said, your wondrous function in this moment, your wondrous function is no different from the wondrous function of the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. And we say, why have I not had some great enlightenment? Why do I feel like this? When will I know for myself? When can I rest? Lynchy says, right here. In this moment, your wondrous function, the wondrous function that beats your heart, this wondrous function of all of the events in your life, all of the things that have ever happened to you, all the things that didn't happen, all of this is here right now. And we wonder where it is. Right here. Dawi also has a wonderful sentence in this short excerpt we have here. And he says, those with commonplace understanding often take the intention of seeking transcendent enlightenment and make it into an obstacle set before them. We take the intention of seeking transcendent enlightenment and make it into an obstacle set before them. You would not be here if there was not something you wanted. We say in Zen sometimes, we talk about bodhicitta, the wisdom heart, the energy, the awakened energy of the heart, we might say. And we do talk about rousing the desire for enlightenment. If you did not want to be free, if you did not want to get to the bottom of it, if you did not want to know for yourself, you would not put yourself through this. This practice of Zen, we say, is not for the faint of heart. Of course, we could say life is not for the faint of heart. We know where it ends up for all of us. And we know how difficult it is. We, every one of us on this screen has known great heartbreak, has known moments of inconsolable grief, places of true desperation, not kind of quiet and literary desperation, but when we are beside ourselves, when we are feel utterly lost. And so this desire to awaken, this determination to sit still, maybe shoulders sore, maybe mind spinning, maybe fires of anger, or resentment, or sorrow burning in you. And we say through our action, I will not move, I will not turn away. And this is an act of great courage and great love to turn toward this burning moment, because you will be burned up, I will be burned up. You will die. I will die. And again and again, if we're lucky. Each moment invites us, requires in some way that we die to everything that was here before. Only in this dying to the opinion of the self, can we truly enter this moment, this world that is created moment after moment, 7,000 times a second, Dogen said, this world that is continually flashing into being, this formless field of benefaction. The spirit of Zen is wonderfully optimistic. Some people, when they first hear of Zen and the teaching that suffering is unavoidable, think, what a pessimistic religion. Who would want to, life is hard enough, why should we think difficult thoughts? But ultimately, Zen and this practice of letting things be is based on this beneficial assumption, intention of the universe, that the universe has brought you into being with no effort on your part. You simply appear. And you will simply disappear. We are sparkles on the water. And the endless kalpas before your birth and the endless kalpas after your birth are part of this moment. And we have this wondrous opportunity to realize this, not to understand this. Understanding has to wait at the precipice. As Michael said last night, we are all at the precipice, facing into the great mystery, the great boundlessness, the great functioning, great and effortless functioning of the universe that requires we make some effort. And so this touching the bodhicitta, touching what we truly love, touching this deepest longing of the heart, so important to as we stay on the path, as we manifest ourselves, as we live our life. But Dawi says that we can take this intention of seeking transcendent enlightenment and make it into the obstacle we set before ourselves. And this is what Alan and Melissa spoke so beautifully about, and also everyone in the Dharma dialogue talking about how we create some image of enlightenment. So on one hand, we say to touch some longing, to touch this mysterious longing. And then to know whatever you think it is, it is not that. Whatever you think it is so far beyond that. It is in another universe, because it is not the universe of thought. The mind creates the world in some way, but yet there is some greater reality, this Dharma of living and dying, that holds us, without any gap, without any separation. Even in the moments where we feel terribly alone, misunderstood, like there is no one around, even in these moments, there is no gap between you and the Dharma. There is no gap between you and the Buddha. How could there be? So this is the path of realization, awakening, attainment is not a thing, and it is not nothing. There are moments where we enter into the world of all worlds. We say where we close the gap. Usually we live at some slight distance or some great distance from ourselves. This gap can be so painful, the gap between who I wish I was and who I think I am, the gap between me and the people I love, the gap between me and the people I do not love. But when we see that from the very beginning there has been no gap, then we participate fully, and when we participate fully, what we find and where we find ourselves is right here. Aching knees, wandering mind. We find ourselves right here. This body, this very place is the lotus land, this very body, the Buddha. And we have clarified the great matter, or we might say the great matter has clarified us. And then we can turn that into a thing and make ourselves suffer, trying to recreate. Oh, last night I was so inspired by Michael, or by I heard this, or I thought this. But we create this large container, this large container of practice, and we steadfastly walk into our life again and again and again. So as Katagiri Roshi says, let us joyfully practice. Let us joyfully practice. Here is the realization. Here is the Bodhi seat. Here is the true Buddha. They are already fully manifesting. Thank you. So please sit comfortably, and we'll begin our Dharma dialogue. Paul.
Thank you, David, for the talk. And I resonated so much with what you were saying. It's kind of interesting. I think I skipped some of your words because I was just resonating with one, and then all of a sudden you would say something and it would catch me again, you know, it would resonate. I think right now I'm kind of stuck on this in a positive way, I guess, but just this minding the gap as you were delineating these the gap between those that we love and the gap between those that we do not, and but just, you know, this the gap that I create as far as between those things in me that I love, those things in me that I don't like, that, you know, how could I have done that? Or, you know, oh, if only I was this way or that way. And you know, this is what I'm hearing in the, you know, the monk, as far as in the koan, you know, it's like, how, and it's those very things as you're, you know, saying again and again, and I do need that repetition, as far as to point out that it is this, those, that awareness of those, of that gap, that's the place to step in. It is that, I used to think that, I would sit and I would write all these emails or create these to-do lists, or my mind would go all over the place and thinking, if I could only get past that, you know, then I can get into that, that true enlightenment, that true way. But of course, all of that is it as well. So thank you for that pointer and the reminder. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul. And I think as you point the, in some way, so we can talk about closing the gap, but as you say, the gap is not a problem. It is the entry point. You know, maybe the gap is where we dive in, right? Because that is the true experience of the moment. Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
Do you want Alan and me to also answer
yes,
that question?
Yes, Melissa and Alan will also join in, please.
Okay. No, I'm just wondering for other people.
Oh, okay.
For Alan, I didn't see Alan on this.
Okay. Susan.
Thank you for the talk. Listening to a Dharma talk, especially for such a long period of time, I don't know how long it was, but it felt very long for
several,
me.
Several kalpas.
Oh, my goodness. And I have the feeling this morning, European time, I was listening to Michael's encouragement talk. And thank you so much for the talk from last night. Because I have the feeling each Dharma talk for me is an encouragement talk. Mm-hmm. It is is an encouragement talk. Because for me, most important is to keep on going, taking my seat moment after moment. Yeah. And I have the feeling everything else is extra. Yeah. Finding whatever. It's just about, Susan, take your seat. And this was arising for me listening to you. And still, I appreciate each single word you were sharing, David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alan will respond to that because I don't see him on my screen. I can't focus.
I was just thinking, how wonderful it would be to let all those extras go. all the things that you feel are extra, to just let them fly off, scuttle off into their corners, and then just really commit to that seat, as you were saying. And I completely agree that every Dharma talk is an encouragement talk. Sometimes I think I've heard a few in other places that were meant to be discouragement talks. I appreciate the fact that in Boundless Way Zen, you know, the idea is we all belong here, and we're not here to scare anybody away or suggest that anybody isn't up to whatever it is we feel the task is. And so I'm just really touched by the commitment that you expressed, Susan. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Chad.
Thank you for the talk. That was amazing as always. This concept of attainment was really sticking with me from yesterday. And then the word obstacle really kind of resonated so much for me, in the sense of like attainment, not so much in acquiring things, but moving past things, right? Like in the sense of whether it's sadness from all that goes on, or pain or fear or anxiety or whatever it might be that arises on like my daily life, right? This idea of moving past it is sort of like that. That's where that, for me, that 10,000 kalpas or whatnot, that distance is always there. It's like I'm just chasing a distance, when in reality, what I should be doing is just holding hands with it and walking with it instead of trying to go past it. So that's sort of what really stood out for me.
I have a friend who's a teacher who talks about the only thing you have to do in practice is stay, which is similar to what Susan was just saying. Just stay and not rush past. That's another way of talking about the gap. We're always rushing past. And to imagine that the attainment is already here, and this is what it looks like, this is what it feels like, that's hard for the mind to get around, but I love your image of holding hands with it. I think that's it exactly.
And Chad, I think you're like many of us here, that like, of course, I know you teach too, and you hold your student's hand and your children's hand without a thought, like, of course I'll walk with you, and to turn that towards ourselves. Oh, I'll walk with this circumstance of my life. not about getting through. So beautifully said. Thank you. Betty.
Hi, I don't usually say much, but I figure I'd try a little bit this morning. First, I guess I'll say that thank you for the talk, David. It was really helpful to me, and I appreciate your words. I started the Sesshin feeling, I always feel a little ambivalent about it. And then I was almost immediately came into this being emotionally hijacked by something that came up. And so before I even got to think about the question about why I'm here, I was gone. when I got into my interview with the person, I have to apologize. I won't say who it was, but they sort of got a little bit of what I was struggling with, which doesn't matter. I was struggling with a particular thing, but and it took me a while to really get back to it. And I really wanted to leave. I was figuring I was going to quit. And that comes up for me a lot, where if something's really difficult, I can't really be there with other people. I have to get away. And fortunately, I'm here, so I do get away a little bit, you know, when we have our breaks. But I guess the reason why I practice is because I want to be able to be, to see that and not get emotionally hijacked. It might not be possible. Maybe I can just get less hijacked, less frequently, come back more easily. You know, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's the best I can hope for. So, but thank you very much, David.
Or even, you know, Betty, yeah. I think we can't avoid being emotionally hijacked. I think the body's not constructed that way. There's automatic stuff. So I think in Zen, what we are learning how to do is to recognize the hijacking as soon as we can. Sometimes that's 24 hours. Sometimes it's like within moments. I don't believe any of us can avoid the amygdala. it protects us. It's really wonderful that we get emotionally hijacked. It's not a problem. It's like everything David was saying. And just to open to it, like you've done, and let it undo itself, and then go on with your life hand in hand with it, just like Chad was talking about. Yeah.
Thanks, Betty. Glad you stayed. Susan.
Yes, again, thank you so much for that. I've been reflecting on a sort of a different gap. And, you know, the case 9 here and the non-attainment, a Buddha of non-attainment or the non-attained Buddha. I sort of fell in love with that idea. And then I was also thinking, well, you know what? There's so many other stories where somebody's struggling and struggling year after year after year after year, and then poof, enlightenment. And I was thinking, well, okay, that's really different. But in neither case does it go on and say, and then he lived happily ever after. So you even know, poof, enlightenment. Well, then what is just what we're all doing? The first of the next trillion breaths and zillion kalpas. So everything changes and nothing changes. And we're emotionally hijacked, and then we're happy, and then we're sad, and then we're surprised, and then we're discouraged. And always, I can do the next breath. I can't do all this other stuff, but I can do one more breath. So I just kind of been reflecting on that contrast. It's okay, no matter what happens, it's all about the next breath.
Yeah. That poof, Susan, can be a stumbling block for us, you know. Mm. And there's this beautiful saying by, I think it's Saint Teresa of Avila, which is, all the way to heaven is heaven. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, all of the practice was the poof.
Yeah, exactly. And another saying, not from Saint Teresa, it's from some Zen person, is today's enlightenment is tomorrow's delusion. Because there's something that happens called Zen sickness, which is having had an awakening and then clinging to it and making it into an object that we keep trying to return to again and again. Then we miss our life. We don't know that every step is heaven, that even forgetting the awakening experience is heaven. So this is why, you know, we have talks and doksan to keep encouraging us, right? Mm-hmm. To keep encouraging the movement towards this, not towards something else, some fantasy or some memory of something.
Yeah, thanks, Susan. Maybe last one, Madhu.
Hi, David. Thank you so much for the talk. For me, what came out is how you explained the difference between understanding and realization. You know, that part, because when you were talking, I was almost feeling like, oh, they both are the same, understanding and realization. But then when you explained it, it seemed as if realization is the realization without any gap. But understanding is almost the, you know, understanding afterwards and how gap is created within the understanding. Mm-hmm. And what occurred to me is that only realization can actually be realized, but understanding can be understood. I hope I'm correct.
Understanding can be understood.
Yeah, well there is a function of understanding, and we do talk, and it's not like we're saying that thinking is not bad. But what I hear you saying is that when we're thinking about something, there's already a gap.
Yeah.
Let me think about the lovely poof I had yesterday afternoon. Right? And there's the gap. So, and it's not a problem. We live in this world, and it's a wonderful world. And that tree is different from me, and I'm so happy to meet. You know, the gap allows us to meet. And there is realization. Where there's no story beyond whatever story that comes after or came before and is totally self-sufficient and totally intimate. Yeah, great. Thank you so much, Madhu. Thank you, everyone. So let's come back to our Zazen posture and sit for a few more breaths before we go on.